Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ah, yes, a good Friday to one and all. It is Taz and the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio, coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. You've got Mikey B. and Pete the Body, Pete Pilotti across the way. Greg Caserta has got your updates. For the next 3 hours, we go 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 to 6 Pacific, right here on CBS Sports Radio, Sirius and XM 206 app as well. What's going on, Taz? How you doing, bud?
Good, Moose. Good. Looking forward to today's show. Going to be a fun Friday filled. We got some college picks. We got some NFL picks. We got a special guest on, Frank Garcia, former Panthers offensive lineman. And he's a co-host of Garcia and Bailey's show in Charlotte. So we're looking forward to that also.
Yeah, and a lot of NFL. College picks,
yes,
NFL
sir.
Picks.
Yes.
The full gamut here on a Football Friday. As the Thursday night game came and went, and what we thought might be a competitive football game between Carolina and Pittsburgh turned into an absolute steeler rout as they embarrassed Carolina 52-21, the final. And Pittsburgh is absolutely rolling right now, showing themselves to be the class of that AFC North. And they're going to get Le'Veon Bell here back sooner rather than later. But a brilliant performance, I mean, by each and every one. After the initial touchdown drive by the Carolina Panthers, 7-0, one play, offensive play later for the Steelers. It's tied up by 7. Roethlisberger hitting Juju Smith-Schuster. Burns the corner and the safety for the long touchdown grab. Ties it up at 7. Pick 6 then by Cam Newton, 14-7. And that's pretty much basically, I'd say, at the 7-minute mark of the first quarter, the competitive balance of this game was over. And it was 14-7. Steelers were running downhill. Panthers running uphill. 52-21 the final. Roethlisberger has 3 incompletions the entire night. Throws 5 touchdowns before he called it a night and got replaced by Josh Dobbs. Just a tour de force performance by the Steelers.
Oh, you know, Roethlisberger was just spectacular. I mean, just insanely red hot last night was Big Ben for sure.
And, God, you know, that Carolina defense stunk.
Oh, my God. I know. What the heck?
They were atrocious.
It was horrid. I got to tell you, though, man, when the game first started, you would think that, like to your point, when the Panthers scored right away, scored earlier, I should say, but the way they were running the ball, more importantly, with McCaffrey. McCaffrey played really well in that first end of the game. He was really, you know, running
the ball. I'll tell you, Missy, he stinks at pass blocking.
Well, because he's small.
It doesn't matter. I mean, honestly, I've seen other guys. I saw Ahmad Bradshaw, his size with the Giants, was a tremendous pass protector. You can't trust him. I mean, honestly, there were 3 plays last night in which Christian McCaffrey was entitled to either chip or pick up a blitzing linebacker, and basically each and every time he missed his block and got Cam Newton assaulted in the pocket. You can't do that. You can't draw, regardless of what he could do, you can't have him in the backfield if he can't pick up a blitz. That's part and parcel with being a running back in the NFL. He was atrocious last night.
Yeah, no, I agree. But what I'm saying is he's not a heavy guy. So it does help when you have a little size to you. When you're blocking a guy who's running full speed as you're, you know, standing there in the backfield, you're not running. Your guy's running at you. So, but he's not a big guy. You're right. He stunk. He stunk at pass blocking. But he ran the ball well early. He did. He was running the ball. And he had some great blocking very early. And then it just kind of, you know, the Steelers just kind of shut it all down. And the momentum just shifted quickly. Right to the Steelers.
It really did. And Connor, before he left the game with a concussion, went in the concussion protocol at 13 carries for 65 yards. Antonio Brown had a touchdown grab. I mentioned Juju Smith-Schuster, the 75-yard long touchdown grab. Vance McDonald with a touchdown catch. Jalen Samuels with a touchdown catch. Jesse James with a touchdown catch. I mean, last night, if you're a fantasy football player, you wanted a lot of Steelers, and you wanted Christian McCaffrey of what he was able to do as he scored all 3 touchdowns for the Carolina Panthers, 2 through the air, 1 on the ground. And the Steelers were, you know, they were at now week 10 of the NFL season, and they're going to be getting Le'Veon Bell back here. The Steelers are starting to gain and get into a little bit of rhythm where defense has played a lot better. As we discussed with Josh Miller yesterday when he joined us, Taz, they've kind of turned a corner the last five games. The offense last night was spectacular. Roethlisberger was brilliant. Passing game. I mean, whatever they wanted to do against Carolina's defense, they did. And that to me is kind of the hallmark of Steeler football, is what they can do offensively as compared to, you know, a staple of their organization over the course of the years. What defined them was that steel curtain defense. Now it's not necessarily the defense. The defense has to just do their part. And the offense will lead the way. And they were explosive, brilliant, hard-knocking when they needed to be. Roethlisberger elongating plays. I mean, anything they wanted to do last night out at Heinz Field, they did.
They sure did. I mean, they had that home field advantage. Obviously, the hometown crowd there in the Steel City helped big time. They're sitting at 6-2-1 right now. And they just look very, very impressive. And, you know, and as you said earlier at the top of your commentary there, you know, Lev Bell's coming back now Tuesday. And now, obviously, it makes for an interesting topic. You know, what do they do here? I do think that, you know, it's going to take a little time for Bell to get into game shape, you know, to go out there and get out there banging and playing and getting hit and running the ball. But you got James Conner, who's playing great. I mean, he's in concussion protocol right now, so we don't know what's going to happen there. But still, I mean, they got a few days here to figure that part out. And then make sure you know Bell's there. Now you got two running backs. And James Conner right now, he's playing really well. So they might have a tough decision or utilize both. We'll see.
And Miller said, yeah, last year it took Le'Veon Bell four weeks to get himself back going. Sure. Yeah. So if you look at it 4 weeks from week, you look at week 11, I mean, then you're looking at 11, 12, 13, 14. You're looking at week 15 to where Le'Veon Bell, if everything goes right, doesn't get hurt, doesn't get banged up, then is cooking with gas. But I mean, I don't see any way that this is not a two-back backfield as long as Connor's over that concussion moving forward. Connor's been too good here for too long to now all of a sudden have him minimize his touches. Maybe you make use of Le'Veon Bell as a receiver coming out of the backfield where you line him up in the slot, something that you can clearly go out there and do. Or maybe you take some of the carries away from him and hand them off to James Conner, Taz. But they got to use both guys. I mean, Conner deserves it. And we know how brilliant Le'Veon Bell is.
And, you know, the Saints, as we know, right? I mean, the Saints, Moosner, they utilize Kamara and Ingram in two-back backfield the right way. So I would assume the Steelers would go that route. And, you know, for the offensive linemen, I think that it's you almost want to rather block for a guy like James Conner because he hits the hole cooking. Like, you know, where Bell is more vision guy. He's an amazing, amazing running back, Bell. But he'll kind of, you know, he's going to, if the blocking assignment is hypothetically towards the right, and that means he's kind of supposed to run towards the left off the butt of a tackle or guard, he don't care. If he's, whatever he sees, a hole, whatever his instincts, and that's what makes him great, where James Conner, complete opposite. He hits the hole where the blocking assignment is, and boom, he's gone. So as a lineman, you know, you like that. You like guys like that. But, I'm not saying that Bell's not a great player. He's obviously an amazing player. So it's going to be interesting.
Here is Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin on really the quality of his entire roster.
We believe that every man can be a viable component of our success. We stated that before the game. That was our intentions, and they did. We're appreciative of their efforts. We expect it. They're all professional. They prepare like it, and they need to be prepared when their number's called, and they are generally, and they were tonight.
You know, Roethlisberger was 22-25, 328 yards, just three incompletions, five touchdowns. That's as good as it gets. Average per completion, 13.1. Just a brilliant offensive performance by the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And here is Big Ben after the win.
You know, and throwing special teams, making a play in there too, right? It's great not having to punt till late in the game. And, you know, when you convert third downs, you're scoring in the red zone, you know, good things happen. And it always starts up front.
Yeah, I mean, and their offensive line, which we discussed yesterday with Josh with Josh Miller. I mean, their offensive line is not one that a lot of people talk about, but they are a very, very good, oftentimes brilliant five-man group up front for the Steelers.
They're definitely fun to watch. I mean, they move people quickly.
Yeah. Pouncey's,
you know,
great.
Pouncey's tremendous. And DeCastro, these guys are just, they're animals. And they've been animals for quite some time. I mean, they are a tremendous group. And they work. They're definitely a tight knit group, and you know that bond. You could tell that their quarterback, Big Ben, has that bond with those linemen. You could see that's there. Before the game, I was watching the pregame. You know, I'm obsessed with pregames. And I'm watching the pregame, and you could see Big Ben. He's warming up with the offensive linemen. You could see he's doing like a Jilly Juice, high knees and karaoke. He's doing drills with them, which is rare to see the quarterback do that with the, you know, agility drills, you know, yeah, warm-up drills with the offensive linemen.
Yeah, it just shows you how tight-knit of a group they are. Yeah. There's no doubt. How about from a Carolina perspective? Let's hear from their head coach first, Ron Rivera. A 31-point loss on the road in Pittsburgh. What says you, Coach?
You know, they did some things that were a little bit different. They brought some pressures that beat our protections. So you got to give them credit. And again, we got as coaches, as I've told you guys before, got to make sure we're giving these guys an opportunity to win.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they were riding a winning streak going into it. They got soundly beaten last night. Here's their star quarterback, Cam Newton.
I tell you what, sure enough was a humbling piece of pie, but not only that, it was a learning experience for a lot of guys. You know, if we expect to be as good as we expect us to be, we have to find ways to win games like this in a hostile environment.
Yeah, I respect what he said there about the humble pie thing. Yeah. You don't hear a lot of guys say that, especially superstars to the level of a Cam Newton.
True.
I think that was very, very cool that he said that. I mean, yeah, he kind of alluded to that the humble pie was for his teammates also. Like, and he said some guys learned something. I'm kind of paraphrasing what he said, but I know I kind of like that audio we just heard from Cam.
Yeah,
in a beatdown, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I the accountability. It was a bad performance. I mean, anyway, you cut it. The defense was bad. Offense was not good enough to keep pace. The pick six really by Newton early on. I mean, that game's tied up at 7. And he tries to avoid the safety and throws an awful interception that ends up being a pick six. And after that, that was pretty much all you heard from Carolina. I mean, at that stage, the game was over.
Agreed. On that interception, I don't know what you thought. I think it looked like he was trying to hit Olsen, and he overthrew him immensely. It was like 5.
Yeah, you might be right. I'm trying to remember.
I think it was Olsen. It was like a screen set up, a tight end screen type thing. And he threw it over his head, and man, I was 98 when I'm trying to blank the linebacker at the end.
Yeah, Williams.
Thank you. Fast, man. I didn't realize how fast he is on a sprint. He must have, at some point in his football life, played running back or receiver. That guy knows how to run a ball, man, for a big dude.
He ran. He's the one, and he kind of made up because he's the one that got burnt on the initial touchdown by Carolina, where he could not keep up with Christian McCaffrey. Down the left sideline. So, it was Vince Williams, the former Florida State Seminole, but he made up for it there, negated that touchdown by scoring the defensive touchdown on the pick six for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And now you look at a Steeler team that now they have to deal with the headache as they get ready for Jacksonville week 11, then Denver, San Diego, or I should say Los Angeles, Oakland, New England, New Orleans, Cincinnati. That's what's left on this Pittsburgh team, but at 6-2-1, now they have to deal with the distraction of Le'Veon Bell, you know, still working out at LA Fitness and, you know, still tweeting and getting active on social media as he's getting as ready to return. And I gotta be honest with you, I don't think we mentioned it yesterday. I don't necessarily think that they are all that welcoming him, even though he's a talented player. I don't think they want to deal with the nonsense and the distraction. I mean, I don't. I think Bell will return, but I think the Steelers are playing so well right now. You don't want to have anything kind of mess up that rhythm, Taz.
I know. I agree, Moose. We've talked about it ad nauseum, like a lot of TV and radio shows have. We have to, about Bell. What's he doing? What's going to happen? Bell. Now it's here. He'll be with the Steelers on Tuesday, as we've said. But you're right. I mean, like, what do you do here? You got James Conner. You know, he's cooking right now on all cylinders, as long as he's okay out of concussion protocol. Hopefully for the kid, he is. But they can go to two-back system. I don't think you could do that right away. And, Moose, Lev Bell actually took the Twitter last night during the game, I noticed. He tweeted when Juju scored. He tweeted, "Juju so special, is so special, man. Juju so special, man." That type of thing. And then he also tweeted this: "James, go crazy then." And he spelled then THEN. I think in that case it's THAN. I think I'm right on that. Regardless, James Conner he's talking about. So, he didn't tag these guys, which is weird. These guys are his teammates. And he didn't he knows what he's doing on Twitter. I just thought that was weird. He didn't tag them. on the Twitter. But regardless, and then his last tweet was, I think it's safe to say it's time to pass the sticks, Moose. He didn't say the Moose part, but I'm saying the Moose
part.
That's what he said.
No, I get it. I don't know. If I were one of his teammates, I know let bygones be bygones. He's trying to get paid, trying to get a contract. But, I mean, it's all nonsense. I mean, it really is from Le'Veon Bell. I mean, I'd almost rather him, if I were one of these Steeler teammates or one of the Steelers organization, take advantage of the loophole that he and his agent now found to where he doesn't necessarily need to even play in 2018. Sit out the entire year. Because it's almost comical. Now, after he's done hopping on the jet ski down in Miami and partying in South Beach and going to the Clevelander and enjoying himself and working out and doing his runs on the beach, now all of a sudden he wants to be Mr. Teammate?
I know. Well, agreed. I know what
10 weeks into the NFL regular season, after he's tweeting upside down and grabbing everyone's attention and doing the ski-doo thing in the down there in South Beach. Right. Now all of a sudden he's go crazy, James, or Juju special. I love Big Ben. I mean, come on. I mean, Taz, come on.
It's fake.
It's so fraudulent.
We said the same word at the same time.
It really is. It's so fraudulent. You could see right through. But it's almost comical. It really is.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm all for guys getting paid, but be genuine. He doesn't give a damn. He doesn't care about James Conner.
No, he cares.
He doesn't care about Juju Smith-Schuster. He cares about
Bell.
He cares about is himself. He doesn't care about the Steelers trying to win.
No.
All he cares about is the contract he's getting next offseason. That's fine. And I don't blame it. When you have that kind of money coming your way, own it. I mean, just own it. Don't pretend to be Mr. Teammate when all you care about is 2-6.
And agreed. And a couple things I think, I mean, maybe it's a conspiracy theory by me. I don't know. We'll see. But I kind of feel like once everybody realized Dez was going to be locked into the Saints, that maybe got Le'Veon Bell thinking. I mean, I could be wrong, and it's just my opinion. Maybe it got him a little motivated to get back with his quote unquote team. But now to your point, now all of a sudden you want to, now you want to be Mr. Teammate, and I like how you said that, Moose, because it's phony, it's fake,
he doesn't care.
It's like you're this deep into the season now. And now you want to that offensive line are the only ones. They're the ones who really called him out, as we know. We covered it here.
Yeah.
And listen, that offensive line, I don't know if they're going to be all warm and fuzzy when this guy shows up. I'm sure he'll have to have a team meeting and say something to the team. But where was Bell? That's what you think as a teammate.
I'd want to ride or die with James Conner.
Of course. But where were you when we lost to the Ravens? Where were you when we lost season? Where were you when we were trying to get our act together and coaches were all off as a practice and we were grinding during the preseason in the heat, and sweating and running and doing drills and hitting? Where were you? See, that stuff that bond is not there now. That's a tough thing. So, but we'll see. I mean, James Conner's doing great. Hopefully, like I said, he's okay with the concussion protocol. We'll see.
And Taz, we both understand the talent that Bell is, and talent does reign supreme in the National Football League. And if the Steelers believe that Bell can help them win, and they do believe that they'll let bygones be bygones if they can hold up that Vince Lombardi trophy. I just look at him as being a fraud. That's the way because I look at it's just so phony to see him now tweeting about his teammates. That's the thing.
Right.
I know he's tweeted about his teammates earlier, but then he'd disappear and then you'd hear him playing basketball or he's at some club partying as the Steelers are playing a football game. That's the thing I look at where I just have had so much of the nonsense surrounding Le'Veon Bell. I can't imagine if I was a Steeler fan living in the greater Pittsburgh area, how much you must be sick of hearing about Le'Veon Bell.
You can't turn the radio on or TV because he's everywhere there out there. But here's the thing. Look, Bell shows you this, though. I'll tell you this. This guy's confident in himself big time because this takes a lot of guts to go this deep, lose that amount of money every week, close to $800,000 a week, which is insanity. It shows how confident he is in himself. And from a business perspective, from taking hits to the body, it's probably smart. I understand that part. You understand that part. We get that part to give himself more value for next season with another club. We understand that. But, you know, this all happened. This stuff with Bell Moose, we talked about it during the postseason of NFL last season. This stuff started. This chatter started by Bell. So, and we've been talking about it all offseason, all preseason, all season. And he, for that matter, Bell, is smart because he kept himself relevant. I don't agree with the way he's done it, but it is actually smart from a business perspective.
Yeah, and how about him and his agent? Finally, one quick note. We'll get to your calls at 855-212-4CBS. But, I mean, you know, talk about your agent not doing due diligence, not realizing that, you know, the thought process up until, you know, last 48 hours was that Bell had to report, sign the franchise tender by 4 p.m. next Tuesday in order for this to count as a year, right? A year under service that he becomes a free agent next NFL offseason. Well, that doesn't necessarily need to be the case, because if there's a subsection to that, to where Le'Veon Bell, based on his service time, he doesn't necessarily need to play this year. He could sit out the entire year and still become, in essence, a free agent next year, where the Steelers then would have to franchise him, where he would make, in essence, around $25 million. Though the Steelers are not going to do that. He was going to get due $14.8 million this year. So, because that would be of the an average of the highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL, Taz, or they could transition him. And a transition tag is basically like you are a restricted free agent. Team can sign you, and the other team has 3 days, I believe, to either agree to that contract or not. And if the Steelers didn't want to pay him now, whatever he's going to get in free agency, they're not going to pay him.
Right.
So,
right.
In essence, I mean, he doesn't even need to play. If he wants to give up all the money that was due to come in this way, he doesn't need to necessarily line up. But he was okay giving up, what, around $8 million? Was that it? 7.2?
Something. Yeah, yeah, 7 and
like
change.
7.2?
Yeah.
I mean, he's okay giving up that.
Amazing. Amazing.
I mean, it's insane. One of your calls at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. It's Taz, it's Moose, Lev Bell, Steelers routing the Panthers in Thursday Night Football. If that game wasn't good, I mean, Week 10 doesn't exactly have a power-packed, action-packed lineup of NFL games on Sunday. That was it last night, Steelers-Panthers, and it was a rout by Pittsburgh. We want your calls. 855-212-4227. Taz, Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
Listen to Eye on Football with Rich Ackerman every Sunday afternoon right here on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right, Friday morning. Greg Caserta's in the house. No Heller this morning. No, obviously, Bogus. He has a Friday off.
Wow.
Greg, good morning, brother. How are
you? How you guys doing?
Good, man. How's everything? All right?
Aside from about 45 minutes of sleep last night, I'm hanging in.
All right, good.
Yeah, well, that's the life that many of us, as
have
you know,
chosen.
Radio people, personalities, and broadcasters choose.
Well, Moose was my inspiration, because I know this time of year he doesn't get a single day off between Rutgers Saturday and then back here Sunday.
This time of year? The guy works 12 months a year like that.
I was drawing on him for this one.
Greg was an intern at SNY.
Way back when.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yes.
And they love Moose at SNY like they love him here, right? Same way?
Yeah, just as much,
they
I'd
love
say.
Him, yeah. Everybody loves the Moose.
That bothers Taz, Greg. Just it if does. It does bother him each and every day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He likes
everybody the, loves the Moose.
Taz gets an extra pep in his deck when he finds out that somebody doesn't like me. He's like, today's a good day.
It's rare. it's rare, but it does happen. Every once in a while, I hate that Moose. Yeah, me too.
Mad at Mark Monday.
Someone hates the Moose and not the Taz.
Last time I saw Taz, you were doing the wrestling show, and then you had the quick turnaround coming back here Monday morning.
Yeah. Well, you could have complimented me for lack of sleep there, but you chose to put over Moose.
No, it's all about me.
Okay. I like it.
You know what, Greg?
I like it.
That you will fit right in this morning.
Fit right in, yes.
Right. You got to pump yourself up.
Doing my best.
Take it away, brother.
Well, fellas, not a whole lot went wrong for the Steelers in their 52-21 pounding of the Panthers on Thursday Night Football. They sacked Cam Newton 5 times, got a pick 6. And, yeah, their quarterback lit it up. Big Ben threw 5 touchdowns to 5 different players. 328 passing yards and a rating of 158.3. No idea why that didn't stop that scale at 100. And after the game, head coach Mike Tomlin spoke in vagaries and coach speak.
It was good execution. But, you know, to a degree, like I said earlier, you know, we were fortunate. The ball was rolling downhill tonight. You know, you'd like to think you're that good, but you're probably not.
Running back James Conner came out of the game with a concussion. He's now in the concussion protocol. Earlier in the day, team owner Art Rooney II said he expects Le'Veon Bell to report to the team before Tuesday's cutoff. Also, Antonio Brown loves driving his Porsche way over the speed limit. In New Orleans, Drew Brees was asked about new acquisition Dez Bryant potentially disrupting the culture in the locker room. He then responded with something that you'd say when the teacher calls on you after falling asleep in class.
There's all kinds of different personalities when it comes to exactly that, just personality or, you know, competitive nature or, you know, this guy's a jokester, this guy's that, and yet, man, everybody, when it's time to work, it's time to work. When it's time to have fun, it's time to have fun.
Really beat around the bush.
Exactly.
What are you talking about?
Well said.
What exactly?
I don't know.
What exactly does that
what
mean?
Was that even, like, what was he talking about?
Right.
Well, this guy's
I played that back three times to decipher that.
Right. What exactly? I don't understand what he means.
That's not double talk. That's triple talk.
Right. My father. What does that mean?
What does that mean?
I don't know, man.
That was funny. Oh, man.
College football, NC State got to number 14 in the country somehow, but no more. They lost at home last night to Wake Forest 27-23 on a touchdown with 30 seconds left. Basketball, Steph Curry is very injured. He needs an MRI today after suffering an adductor strain in his left leg during the Warriors 134-111 loss to the Bucks. That's the inside of the thigh, Moose. Mike D'Antoni stuck with Carmelo Anthony again. Mello was 1-for-11 from the
field. You know, I was actually thinking, I'm like, where is that in the line?
Right inside the thigh.
Thank you, Greg.
Rockets lost to the Thunder last night, 98-80. Most of the bars in Boston were closed by the time the Celtics staged their comeback in Phoenix last night. They were down 20 at the half. They rallied in the second and won in overtime 116-109. Finally, the Blazers improved to 9-3 with a 116-105 win against the Clippers. Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, 25-23 respectively. I hear Portland's a lovely city. I'm Greg Caserta.
Oh, there you go. Thanks a lot, Greg. Appreciate it, man. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Taz, your number to call. And CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You can save 15% or more on car insurance.
Well, Moose, we're talking a lot about the Pittsburgh Steelers, about Lev Bell coming back into the fold this Tuesday for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Meanwhile, you got James Conner, who's playing great, running the ball great. He's in concussion protocol right now last night, but we'll see what happens. Let's hit the phones. Let's go to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Hey, Larry, you're on with Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Larry?
Not much, man. Listen to you guys every morning. It's a great show.
Thanks, thank you, Larry. Appreciate
that, man.
Thank you.
Now, I'm not a Pittsburgh fan.
Right.
But I just, you know, this Le'Veon Bell thing, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, T.O. and Dez Bryant. I mean, when does it get to the point where the distractions and the selfishness actually outweigh the talent? You know, I mean,
I think we're close. I think we're close with this guy right now. To your right. point, I think you're close.
Well, I mean, you're starting to see dissension with the thing is, and yeah, he's a great talent. He's got a lot of God-given gifts, but you know, football is a true team sport. You know, baseball is a team sport, but you can go there, hit a home run. That's all on you,
right?
You know, but whenever you're playing football, even if you break that 75, 80-yard touchdown, you've got 10 other guys been trying to help you get where you're at. You know, if he played for a team like, you know, say the Browns or somewhere that didn't have the offensive line or didn't have what he has around him supporting him, I don't think he would have the numbers he has. And, you know, if those guys don't want to block for you, you're not going to keep getting the numbers.
Well, you're right about that, Larry. And it's really kind of a great debate within, you know, executive offices around the National Football League. And that is the value of a superstar running back. Where some teams will say, you know, they're not going to draft a Saquon Barkley high or a Ezekiel Elliott high. It's not knocking them as players, but saying I could find a running back that might not have just as much production, but it'll be close enough, and I'm not going to have to pay a king's ransom to it. And you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers this year, has their offense really missed a beat?
Mm-mm.
Has the running game missed a beat without Le'Veon Bell, Taz? It hasn't. I mean, it really hasn't. James Conner has actually done just as well, if not better at times, than Le'Veon Bell did a year ago.
Completely agree, and I think there's a few reasons for that. I think the team, especially the offensive team, was motivated to do this without Le'Veon Bell, especially James Conner, and most importantly, that offensive line. And that's why those guys were public about the selfishness in S of Le'Veon Bell. So the offensive lineman. So I do think there was a lot of the offense for the Pittsburgh Steelers trying to show their fan base, the NFL fan base, the media, trying to show everybody, hey, look it. Yeah, AB's a great player. Lev Bell's a great player. Big Ben's a great player. But we're a great team. And if one of those components is not there, we will continue to be a great team. Enter James Conner, you know, in his second year in the NFL with a real true opportunity. The kid has been playing phenomenal.
Well, he's been great. Yeah. I mean, James Conner this year has got 11 touchdowns and over 1,100 yards of total offense from the line of scrimmage. Over 700 yards rushing, over 300 yards receiving. You know, that is fantastic production.
How many touchdowns did you say?
He's got 11.
Wow, I didn't really have that
10 many on
touchdowns.
The ground and one through the air. He's got 11 touchdowns here through 10 weeks and 9 games for the Pittsburgh Steelers, Taz. He's had an unbelievable year. So the Pittsburgh Steelers, you look at Le'Veon Bell has hurt him. Number one, he left money that he's never going to be able to make up just out there because he wants to minimize touches because he's looking at a big payday long term. But also sends a signal of, all right, well, Le'Veon Bell is great, but isn't he a little bit then a product of the great play and the offensive line in front of him? Is it all Le'Veon Bell or is it also the five guys up front? Now you need the offensive line to produce because the Steelers have inserted James Conner. And Connor's been just as good.
Yeah.
So, but Connor's not going to get paid Le'Veon Bell's.
No, paid.
He's not.
No.
But the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be A-okay with that because if they could get somewhat of Le'Veon Bell's production at a tenth of the cost, they're going to be happy as a pig in you know what.
And a guy that's not complaining and whining and being a headache. So you're getting a guy who's just as productive or almost as productive.
Right.
And a guy who is a team guy. A guy who gives you no headaches.
None.
And you're making less money. And you're paying him less money, I should say. You're saving money from a business perspective.
You're saving money.
You're saving money.
Well, Taz, it's like the age old. How many times we talk about when the draft rolls around, right? When we were talking about the quarterbacks in this past draft class. If you draft the right young quarterback, like the Seattle Seahawks did, when they had the great defense and they were paying all the guys on defense, what happened? Well, they had the young quarterback in Russell Wilson that they didn't have to pay.
Yeah.
That was playing at an elite level.
Yeah, yeah.
And that enables you to then take that quarterback money that you'd have to put toward a franchise quarterback and pay other guys.
Mm.
Now, eventually that guy's going to get paid, but you're going to be okay with that. But then you have like a 4 or 5 year window there where then you could allocate that money someplace else and you are a better team for it.
Yeah.
That's what you could do in getting production outweighing the amount of money that you're paying like you are right now with James Conner.
Absolutely,
because they're paying a Conner a fraction of the cost of what they're going to pay Le'Veon Bell.
Correct.
Or would have.
And now, if I'm a Steelers fan, and if I am on that Steelers team, and I'm, let's say, good friends with James Conner, you know, or if I'm James Conner, I'm worried. This is what I'm worried about. Not that Lev Bell's going to play more or Lev Bell's going to start, whatever. You know, they're both going to play a lot. They're both, you know, excellent players. I'm worried that the Steelers coaching somehow, some way, if they do change the amount of touches that Conner gets too drastically, that this kid loses his confidence, or this kid gets unmotivated, or this kid gets disgruntled. Now, we're talking about a kid in James Conner who's battled some real life issues, okay, with battling cancer and conquering it. And so, you know, he's got a lot of...
He's overcome a lot.
Yeah, this kid, this is not your regular, you know, young NFL player. This is a guy who's really battled through and some legitimate health issues and is doing amazing. My point is I just don't want to see, hopefully this kid, something happens where he loses his confidence or he gets disgruntled. Or, you know, because then once Bell's gone next year, because he's not going to be on the Steelers.
No.
Okay, once he's gone, you need to keep James Conner motivated, hungry, and playing, you know, playing hard and running hard like he does.
Yeah, and I that's going to be on the Steelers. But Taz, as long as the concussion is nothing long term here, and you know if he's out of the concussion protocol pretty quick, and it's not a serious one where he's out 3 or 4 weeks.
I hope it's not. Yeah,
hopefully it's not. They're going to give James Conner burn. He's earned it, and I think it would send the wrong message to the guys on that team if all of a sudden Le'Veon Bell walks through that door and then he's getting the majority of the carries. I don't. I don't think that would be good for the Steelers on the whole. Don't you think they're a little they're savvier than that? They
absolutely
understand that.
No, they are. They definitely are. No, I agree.
He's going to cut into him. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, Le'Veon Bell's going to get work. But
yeah,
also, to play to your point, he's not in football shape either.
No,
it's one thing to be in cardio shape or be lifting and have the muscle tone. It's a different thing than taking hits.
It's a different thing.
Than taking hits.
And you're right about taking hits, but it's just practice all week, the grind of the season. That's why the old cliche in sports, midseason form. The Steelers are midseason form, and Bell is in preseason form. He's got to catch up.
He's got to catch up, no doubt. We got some college picks coming your way next. The Home Depot Foundation's annual celebration of service season has begun. Join the Home Depot to help improve the quality of life for veterans. Visit serveveterans.com for more information on how you can help in your community. And do it today. Great work there by the Home Depot. Coming up straight ahead, we are at week 11 of the college football season, amazingly enough.
It's amazing.
As the season is starting to wind down here. But then you get into bowl season. That's fantastic as well. But we've got college picks. My week last week. Taz's week rolling. We'll get into some college picks. We'll give you some selections. We got three apiece coming your way next. It's Taz, it's Moose, it's a Football Friday, CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, this is Rich Ackerman. Listen to Ion College Football tomorrow at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific on CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Time right now to ask the pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit your question. Be listening later on the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. We've hit November. Last month of the college football regular season, for the most part. You do get Army-Navy toward the tail end of the month as well.
Always a great game.
Always a legendary game. Great atmosphere. Let's get to it. Some college picks.
The Taz and Moose picks are for fun only. This is not for gambling purposes, just some chuckles and a good time. Enjoy the Taz and Moose picks now. Listen irresponsibly.
It's now time for the Taz and Moose College Football Picks. The three picks you need to know.
All right, Mike.
Moose, 15-14-1 on the season. 0-2-1 last week. Taz, 12-17-1.
Yes!
1-2 last week.
I suck.
I know, we're both terrible.
I know.
I'm a game over. Are you serious?
That's why I play these
at your own peril.
Yeah. All set. All right. You want to go first? I don't know what to say to that. You're right. We just said, dude. That was nice that you told the audience that.
What?
Because you're right. That was nice you told the audience that.
Don't be smart. Yeah, right. Exactly. Yes. Numerous examples as well. I'll go first.
All right,
because
cool.
I'm going to start with a Friday night game tonight. Get the weekend start off right.
I love Friday night games.
Yeah. Let's go to the Carrier Dome up in beautiful Syracuse, New York, my alma mater. Yeah. And how about the Syracuse Orange? Is there a top 15, 13th team in the land is the Syracuse Orange as they're entertaining a really bad Louisville team for Bobby Petrino, and they're 2-7. And the Orange are 21-point favorites tonight in the Carrier Dome. Now, there have been years in the past where the Orange have had games where they played Friday night and they haven't played up to expectations. I'll tell you, Babers is a good coach. He's gone to Syracuse. He's rebuilt that program. Got to remember, for our younger fans of ours, Taz,
yes,
it wasn't that long ago under Pasqualoni that Syracuse was a perennial top 25 team. Mm-hmm. For the last decade and a half, they've almost been a laughingstock. They really have been. And the program's kind of rotted on the vine. Now you look at it, he's gotten them better. They deserve to be where they're at. I know they've had some tough losses on the road in Clemson. I think they're going to take it to Louisville. Lay the 21, Syracuse, pick number one for me. Dungy plays well. That dome is rocking. People are into football once again up in the northeast New York. Give me Syracuse or Northwest New York. Give me Syracuse. Lay the 21. That's pick number one for me.
Love that pick, Moose. I like the Cuse too. All right, here we go. We're gonna go a little Mountain West Conference battle. I love this kind of football. Always been a fan of Mountain West stuff. We got Fresno State going to the blue turf of Boise State. The Broncos against the Bulldogs. So Fresno State, they're ranked 23 in the country. They're at 8-1. Real good squad this year. And Boise State's at 7-2. Again, another real good squad. Hope Dog is Boise with a plus 2.5. I got to tell you, I like the Bulldogs. I like Fresno State in this thing here. Look, both teams have real good quarterback play. I can tell you that right now. I think the difference maker potentially could be Mims, the running back, and Rivers. They have two running backs there. Fresno State, real good. I like the Bulldogs in this one. I like them to cover. There you go. So
there
that's
you go.
My pick. Bulldogs.
Good
Fresno
pick.
State.
I'm
yep.
with you. I'm All with right. you. All right. Pick number two for me. Early game on Saturday. Noon kickoff. Let's go to Morgantown, West Virginia.
Ooh.
The Mountaineers are 11.5-point favorite over TCU. And I'm going to lay the 11.5. You look at West Virginia, they're coming off the great game. Great victory last week over Texas. Remember, we talked about Dana Holgorsen earlier in the week. You want to win the game, let's go win it. They go for two. A great call there to win it late for West Virginia. They come back home. You look at TCU this year, right? Early on in the season, played well but lost to Ohio State. Lost to Texas by 15. Right. Lost to Texas Tech. Lost to Oklahoma on the road by 25. Lost to Kansas by 1 on the road. Now they go on the road this year. So you look at it this year, they only have one road victory this entire year. Mm. And that was at SMU, a 42-12 final. And you have to go all the way back to September, second game of the year. They go on the road, Morgantown. I love the momentum of West Virginia. Give me Will Grier. Give me the Mountaineers. I think they're going to run it up on Gary Patterson and TCU. Lay the 11.5. West Virginia minus 11.5. Pick two for me.
All right, Moose, sounds good, my man. Let's do a little Big Ten action with two top 25 programs. Ohio State Buckeyes, they're at number 10. They traveled to East Lansing to play the Michigan State Spartans, who ranked at 18. Ohio State, they're sitting at 8-1 right now, where Michigan State's sitting at 6-3. Michigan State, home dog, they are plus 3.5. So you would have thunk, like, you know, back weeks ago before the college football season started, if you looked at this game, you'd think, oh, man, Ohio State's going to smoke them. Ohio State's going to be a top, whatever, 5 program, yada, yada, yada. Urban Meyer, he's the man. But that didn't happen. They dropped down to 10. There's some issues in that program for sure. But I do think the Buckeyes are victorious in this game. I think they'll win the game by 7. I like Ohio State to cover. I like them in this game. Urban Meyer looks stressed on that sideline, but somehow, some way, I think it's gonna be easy. I do think the Buckeyes win. I think Haskins will have a good game under center, and Dobbins also running the ball. So they got a really good squad, really good defense too. I like the Buckeyes to cover.
Yeah, I'm gonna go late game on Saturday. I like that pick, Taz. I'm gonna go late game. Let's go to Lubbock, Texas, 7:30 kick, Fox on Saturday night, and that is 19th ranked Texas against Texas Tech. And this looks like a game. Longhorns coming off a bad loss. We'll learn something about Tom Herman and this Longhorn team. They're coming off, I wouldn't say a bad loss, a tough loss.
Tough loss.
West Virginia is a good team, but that's a heartbreaking loss to lose that game late. Now they go on the road, Lubbock, Texas, a rival against Texas Tech. You know the Red Raiders have circled this one, as do many teams when they take on the Texas Longhorns. I'm going to take Texas and lay the 1.5. Field goal game either way. I don't think this is a margin game. But I think Texas shows you a little bit of resolve here, Taz. Give me the Longhorns laying the 1.5. That's pick number three for me.
All right, Moose, let's go a little Saturday night Jones, 7:30 p.m. We got the Florida State Seminoles, who are 4-5. They're going to play the number 3 team in the country, the Fighting Irish, the undefeated Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Well, some people might panic because Ian Book, the quarterback, for the Fighting Irish, he's not going to play against FSU. He's got some kind of a rib injury, core injury. Not sure, somewhere in the middle of the body. That's what Kelly reported. But anyway, I think it's a rib. Regardless, they got a guy, as we know, Winbush, the quarterback who was a starter.
Yep.
He's going to start. Don't worry about it, Fighting Irish fans. Your Fighting Irish are going to be victorious in this thing. Winbush, different type of quarterback than Book. Book is a guy who throws the ball all over the place. He's great arm. Where Winbush is an awesome runner. By the way, Notre Dame is minus 16 and a half. They're going to cover, Moose.
They're going to cover. They're so lay cover. The 16 and a half.
Lay the 16 and a half and believe in the Wimbush.
There are your three picks from Taz. I gave you my three picks as well. And all I can say is to one and all, if you bet them, good luck.
Just be careful. Just be careful.
Tread lightly. Yeah. Be careful. We do like the picks, though, but honestly, that doesn't mean anything. It's Taz, it's Moose, it's CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.